5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go!
Welcome to the Kino Tri Show. Whether it's ratchet or inspirational, dope or disturbing, let's talk about it. You never know who'll stop through. This dude's worldwide. So kick your feet up, relax, and let the libations flow. It's the Kino Tri Show. All the cool kids are listening. Don't be a Stanley.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Kino Tri Show. We are broadcasting live from the Punchline Comedy Club in Atlanta, Roswell Road, Buckhead, something like that, at the Landmark Diner. Make sure you come through and check out the shows. Man, I'm in here with my partners in crime. I got both of them in the house. I got Jamil Harley, rah, a.k.a. Young Beige, a.k.a. Rap Star. And we got Steven Nose in the building. What's up, Steven?
What's up, what's up? Just here representing the minorities, you know?
The minorities? Yeah, we got to keep the minorities, you know. I want the EEOC coming blasting the show. But we got a special guest in the house, man. I'm really excited to have him here. Malachi Black.
Yeah. I hear y'all clapping at home like, oh, my God.
I like to call Malachi Maliquity. I don't know where I got it from.
I don't know. It sounds sexy, though.
I ain't mean it to be sexy.
Tom Malone? Is that what you're talking
about? I like the way you call me Maliquity.
Maliquity. I don't know. It's just like, you know, you feel like you got to get a hood name. I'm not in the hood anymore, so mine's kind of watered down, like Maliquity or Stephen Roney. I don't know.
You can't sell crack with that name.
You can't do that with either Maliquity or Steve Roney. You in Aldi's looking at off-brand purchases.
I guess I was trying to be like that 80s white person. Remember they used to be like, hey, what's up, Bub? Bubba Roney. I don't know. I was watching 80s movies last week. I'm sorry. Forget I even said that. But
why are you trying to be white, man?
I don't know,
just
man.
Just be yourself, man. We like you the way you are.
No, I'm not. I'm going through identity crisis, man. It's close to Christmas. We see white Santas and stuff everywhere. I just don't know who I am right now.
You need to go to Greenby.
Oh, yeah. But Malachi, you got a lot of things going on, man. And yeah. I'm kind of watching you from social media, my living room. I ain't really out watching you,
right.
These days.
Yeah, but it is.
You got a show coming up, The Battles. Tell us about The Battles, man.
The Battles, man, is a show I've been working on, man. I got picked up. The dude I played the lead character. Well, I played the father. Everybody's the lead character on it because it's a family thing. And we're looking at a few stations, man. It was originally going with I don't even want to say the station no more. Because they gave us a letter.
Don't say it because you might prevent me from getting on it.
Right. Yeah. But it's the new station with all the black people on it.
that ain't hard to figure out.
Right. We moving around, and what's the big thing is Oprah Winfrey people looking at it. So,
oh, cool.
That's own network.
Trying to get some of them Oprah dollars.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get some Oprah dollars by any means necessary. Oprah.
Yeah.
You hear that?
So a lot of people looking, man. So
get some of that Oprah.
I'm excited, man. Good writing.
So anybody, any other comedians on it, or are you the only?
I'm the only comedian on it, man. It's a dramedy. It's about a father and a mother, a dad who's a doctor at Emory, who grew up in the hood but became a doctor, and he's raising his family in the middle class, but he's trying to keep his family with, you know, not some hood values, but keeping them tough, kind of like, hey, you know, trying to balance it down. And his son is real religious, real into the Bible. And Pops, he ain't really grew up like that. He just, you know, so.
The mom,
Jesus freak, you know.
Oh. If you ever need a revolutionary figure, man, y'all can always.
Right.
I can always contract your boy, and I'll come in and set some stuff up.
Get a light-skinned revolutionary. All of them be light-skinned, though. Yahweh Ben Yahweh, Malcolm X.
It's a reason for that.
Yeah.
Well, they say light-skinned people have to be a little more I guess I don't want to say ghetto. Or they got to be stronger. They got to prove themselves. Tougher. Yeah,
no, that's tougher than everybody else. That's not it. A lot of times, and I've witnessed this in society, a lot of times the darker complected people, like men and women, mm-hmm. they get harped on so hard as kids that they don't. A lot of times, I've noticed that a lot of us kind of reject blackness.
Right. But when you come, broken early.
But we kind of want that. Like, we aspire to know more about our culture and our history, so we absorb that. To where our counterparts, I don't want to hear that, blacks, but no, you need to hear this. So it's like the difference between like liberation versus turning your eye and don't even pay attention to it and be safe and stuff.
Now Steve
like
looked like he could relate to that, being light skinned. He a red bone.
Right. Hey, that son ever needs like a little Buddhist friend.
Right. Yeah. Like
a little religious posse going on, man. You let me know.
Yeah,
everybody trying to get on the show now.
Right. Yeah.
Well, hey, it ain't good enough to be on the Keno Try Show. Let me.
Right.
If you need a delivery guy to come through with a pizza and
Well, I'm gonna be one of the producers, so you know, you never know. So,
yeah, you never know.
And I think by it taking me so long to actually get stuff on TV, I've been on TV here and there.
Yeah.
But I think it's my duty to kind of put people in the position to make some cameos and like, oh yeah, man, trust me, he was good.
Yeah.
Hey, cameos. I enjoy watching like a video or something and seeing like, wait a minute, is that Malachi Black? I
said, right.
Rewind it. We just watched John B video.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Let me ask you something about that video. You say you was 21, right?
Yeah.
Which video was it?
Someone to Love.
Someone to Love.
Malachi has on a black Kango.
Right.
And his shirt is open. It's a black shirt or it's a jacket.
It was so long. I don't remember.
He got a white t-shirt, but he is grinning so hard.
Yeah.
You would have thought that he was like, I'm up next.
Right.
Y'all put me in next.
Right.
But how does it feel to be, like, when you first saw the video when it first came out, how did that make you feel?
It felt great, man, because at the time I got a chance to work with Babyface, and I was a songwriter. I started writing songs about 18, 19.
Mm-hmm.
And Babyface at the time was in, when I was 18, 19, Babyface was in this group called The Deal.
I remember The Deal.
And The Deal had hit records after hit records. They had two occasions. And they had shoot 'em up movies and all that. And so I would emulate the writing style and emulate how, you know, and I was like, man, that'd be something. And I get it, and then fast forward a couple of years later, I got a call that said, "Hey man, Babyface liked your demo and want to work with you and work on some stuff." Oh snap! You know what I'm saying? And I went to New York and started, and I was and then from that day I met like DJ Red Alert, Big Daddy Kane, all these people.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason I was smiling so hard in the video is because that day I got to New York, I got to chill with Dougie Fresh, I got to chill with the Wu-Tang Clan that just started. I chill with the Wu-Tang Clan.
Weed was smoked.
Right, yeah. Okay. And basically, I was high.
that's why you're smiling.
Recovering from it.
No, I asked because, like, I'm from Indianapolis, Babyface from Indianapolis. Whenever I'm around somebody that I look up to, like a legend, or just not even a legend, somebody I look up, you get this feeling like, I don't think I would be so smiling ear to ear because I'm self-conscious because I know my boys be like, boy, you smiling from ear to ear.
Right. Yeah.
But I don't care what they think. But I'm looking at your face. You look so happy.
Yeah, I was happy, man.
That wasn't no act. I was actually happy.
I mean, at that time, I was literally in a gang. Like, I was like a gang-banging kid. Like, I'm from D.C., so it's either murder or get murdered. You know what I'm saying? And it was like they literally
saved your life, dang it.
I mean, I'm literally that off the block. And you, so with that expression, it's like, what would happen? And like, all the kids, the young black kids is getting killed. And we didn't like, man, it's the black on whatever. That look on my face is the look of one of these kids from Chicago, Detroit, D.C. If you take them and put them in something, they
change the whole perspective.
Like, I'm like, literally doing something, you know. It's like
they gave you hope that day.
Yeah, man. It's like, hey, they got a phone call. Who is it? Oh, it's Heavy D. He wants you to work with this group that he got. Yeah,
Yeah. Especially it's on TV. You get to work with people you see on TV. You never think watching TV, or sometimes we don't even aspire. Like, we could be on TV with him, or I'm going to know him one day. Like,
Right, yeah.
So I guess being off the block from D.C., like, you wasn't supposed to be hanging with Salt and Pepper and Heavy G. Right.
Growing up, you kind of think of those people as, like, super special people. Like, you could never be that.
Right,
that person.
Yeah, and I think about the friends that I made in that time period went on to be legends. Mm-hmm. Like Biggie, he went on to be a legend. I mean, that video. I mean, the Biggie video.
See how he dropped names like that. My friends went on to be. Right. You know this guy named Christopher Wallace, right?
Right. But I'm just saying, in that year I became friends with two of the biggest rappers ever, Biggie and Tupac. I became friends with both of them.
Right.
And they went on, and it's like they became icons. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And I'm from the era. I was with them. Mary J. Blige went on and became, Be Happy. She went on to become an icon. Who else, man? Just a lot of people, man. Just in there who, it's like from the musician standpoint, from the comedy standpoint, I grew up in the same neighborhood with Martin Lawrence. Mm-hmm. Like, Martin Lawrence was the guy who buffed our Walmart. Our Kmart. He was the guy buffing the floors. Mm. Dave Chappelle, when he was in high school with us, he would eventually go to Duke. He would transfer to Duke.
Yeah.
But, like, I remember when he was the class clown at our school. You know what I'm saying? Like Dave Chappelle was a class clown.
He went to the same high school you guys did?
Right.
Oh, okay.
You know same time?
Yeah. Same time, yeah.
So he was only there for a short time, right?
He was there until the 10th grade. And he would go to, during the 10th grade, he would go to Duke Ellington. Duke Ellington was on the west side. We was on the east side. Like, the east side was like, you ain't want to be on the east side. The east side was like Bankhead. Like, you know, it was like the hood. And if you had an opportunity
to get out of
to
it.
Move to like Gwinnett, that was like the east west side of D.C. But I stayed there because I ain't, you know, my family, like, my pops worked at Pepsi Cola, and my mom, she got hurt on the job, couldn't, you know, so.
So where did the music writing come from? Is your family musical at all?
Actually, got a few legends in my family, man. Ron Carter, I don't know if y'all heard of Ron Carter.
He's
a famous bass player from.
Name sound famous.
Yeah.
You know Ron
Carter.
Ron Carter.
You said your parents are from Panama, and I don't know much about Panama. I don't know if it's a heritage. Like, you know, some cultures, you know, instrument and music is part of a big part of the heritage. And
it's like Afro-Caribbean. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You get taught instruments as a rule. So that's what I was asking. Was father.
My dad, he wrote songs. Okay. My dad, he actually wrote a song that got stolen by Al Green.
Oh, shit.
And
I hope it ain't Love and Happiness.
Nah.
I had to go see Al Green about that one.
Yeah, but it's just
to make you want to do wrong.
Right. It's like I'm the, like I say, man, I'm the Forrest Gump of this world. And it's an awkward position, but I love it because it helped me get through depression. I had a lot of depression.
Meaning the music did?
Right.
The music.
What helped you get through it?
What helped me get through depression was actually watching people that I know on TV, people that I grew up with on TV, like Genuine, like they're like, man, turn the Elton on TV. I'm like, what?
It gives you hope. It gives you hope.
And then watching Dave just blow up.
I like
up.
How he just gives one first name basis.
I know, right? Dave.
He really know these guys. Yeah. What'd you call Genuine? Belgium?
Elgin. Well, his name is Elgin Lumpkin.
Elgin Lumpkin.
Elgin. We got that.
I would have never known.
Shout out to Elgin Lumpkin.
Yeah. He was Elgin Baylor. Remember the basketball player, Elgin Baylor?
Yeah.
He was named after Elgin Baylor,
All right, hold that thought. We need to take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk more about Elgin and some of the cool people you met in DC or know.
I'm just Elgin.
We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to the Keno Trice Show.
Looking for.
I am Mia Jackson. And you're listening right now. Do you know what you're listening to? Yeah, you do. You're listening to the Keno Trice Show.
All right, we are back from the break.
Yeah.
We've been getting it in here. So we left off talking about Genuine and some of the people you knew.
Mr. Lumpkin.
Right.
Mr. Lumpkin.
Now, real cool dude.
During the break, you started talking about people that are from DC that you didn't know.
Right, right, yeah. Like Wale. Like I ain't never I met Wale like twice. You know, like I do comedy, like, yeah. I was like, hey, I started to say, motherfucker, I'm a legend. I just don't know.
Well, is it one of them things where you can connect? Like, I'm from DC too. Like, you know, because you, yeah, you meet somebody.
Yeah, these DC people, like Jay Holiday. I don't know if you know Jay Holiday.
He lives here, right?
Yeah, he lives here. And then when we, he's like, I'm from the East. I'm from the East Side. Yeah. Bennett wrote, are you serious? Nigga, by the shrimp boat. I'll buy the shrimp boat. Man, God, yeah. But Wale was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, Wale's a little special. But I like his vibe, though, man. I just think from looking at some of the interviews I've seen, he needs some really good people around him.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if I was in it, I would need some really good people around me.
Right. And the one thing people don't realize about D.C., even if you're black and everything from D.C., you're never really black like everybody else is black. It's like.
You're talking about because of the different people's nationalities.
Because the nationalities, like, say, for instance, Steven here, I might got a couple of black friends, or might got a lot of white friends.
I got five of them, yeah.
Right, right. But in D.C.,
they'd be from somewhere else.
You would never know. You know what I'm saying? You would never know who we hang with, because one minute you'd be with a Lebanese guy. Like,
oh, right.
Or you'd be with, like, where you from? Oh, I'm from Czechoslovakia. Oh, it's not a...
It's a lot of diversity.
It's more diverse. It's every. I tell you what, this is what attracts people in DC to each other: liquor. Like where you from? Oh, I'm from Sweden. I heard they got some good liquor. What you drinking on?
Oh, I got some good vodka.
Come to my crib, man. Mm-hmm.
It's funny that you mentioned that. When I was in DC, I found out that nobody can own a liquor store except for the government.
Really? Yeah.
Like all of the liquor stores are government owned.
Colorado, mm-hmm. Utah.
Utah too?
Yeah, Utah's like that.
That should be illegal. I'm thinking, how do you monopolize?
Well, they get money off the taxes, and right. I mean that's the government, and it raises money for the government and for that stuff.
You know how many toll rolls y'all got out there?
Yeah, well, DC is not a state. That's why.
Right, because this DMV you got.
Yeah, it's not. It's DC is the only city in the world that's not in the state.
It's Virginia. Yeah,
DC is the only place that's an area. That's why it's so eclectic, you know.
And it doesn't get electoral vote, does it?
Nah, I don't get no elect. Yeah, it don't get nothing. It's a district.
It'd be corrupt.
yeah.
Right there where all the corrupt people hang.
So
right,
people who live in DC can't even vote. I guess they vote, but there's no electoral.
Now, right? Yeah.
I haven't been to DC in years. I mean, the climate in DC, like we watch news down here in Georgia, is mostly murder and car chases. But in DC, is the local news more political driven? Do you always hear about what's going on in Capitol Hill and things like that?
No, it's just the news in DC is just like the news in Atlanta.
Oh, just murder.
Murder and killing.
Eight people shot at an Easter Bunny egg hunt.
You know, what would happen, the things that happen when people rob a bank. Of course, they like two or three blocks from the White House. So it's like you're gonna be standing in front of the White House talking about a bank robbery or something like that. Right. So it's like that. But DC is like until I went home October.
October.
I didn't realize how much I missed.
10-10.
I was like, wow, man. And you don't realize how segregated it is here.
Oh yeah.
Until
yes, you do.
You
don't.
You realize it more when you go to like Philadelphia
to a place that's
let's say if it's the Punchline, which is a great club. I would love to perform here. But if you look at their roster, it's all white, and then you look at the Uptown is all black.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you look at there's no whereas in DC
intermingling.
You know, you go to you look at the improv, the DC improv versus this improv is like black. You got Korean, like Joy Koy was there. Mm-hmm. You got white lady from the South. You got
the South is very segregated.
Russian.
Yeah, just a mix of people. They're more liberal in their thinking, and everybody mixing and matching, I guess, because there's a lot of interracial dating going on, I'm sure.
Man.
What about the food in D.C.? I think the food down south sucks.
The food in D.C. off the chain. Because, you know, Steve was talking about Vietnamese food, or you was talking about Ethiopian food. My favorite is, I like Jamaican, I like Indian food.
Oh, yeah.
It's more or less like in D.C., you wake up and like, oh, man, you know what? I want some of that Russian soup. You know what I'm saying?
And you know where to get it. Yeah, not, and you just go to the Russian elusive
spot. Yeah. Right, yeah. Or you go to the Lebanese spot, or you go to the Colombian spot.
But then everything is like, so in D.C., would you say everything's more together? Like, it's much tighter? In the sense that if I wanted something like that, I got to drive them 45 minutes.
Yes.
Well, I mean, they still do have their segregation, though, in D.C.
Yeah, to a degree. There's so many black folks, you know.
Yeah. But it ain't going to be too long. That gentrification's coming through there like a motorboat.
Oh, yeah. See, that's the thing. Yeah. People, black folks in D.C. got money.
Yeah.
Versus the South. You ain't moving black folks out of nowhere.
Yeah, some do.
Let me ask you this question, Malachi. And I want to ask this question to every... Even off record to every comedian that's been around and has done a lot of stuff. With all the social climax that's going on right now, do you incorporate that into your set? Because I watch your Facebook stuff. You're very aware. Do you incorporate that into your set, or do you sort of try to bypass and ignore it?
I do. I do actually put it in my act. Like, I do a lot of shows in Florida. Like, the Laughing, when I do the Laughing in Florida, it's all white.
Mm-hmm.
Like the bartender's white, the waitresses, everybody's white, and I still come from the standpoint of a black guy point of view in America. I think I'm able to do that because I spent the first 5-6 years of my comedy career trying to be famous, and it didn't happen.
Off top,
right? Yeah,
I don't need a 5-minute set. I just need to be famous.
Right? Yeah. Oh, you gonna want some autographs?
Because I'm here.
Yeah, but it got to the point where everybody just felt that I was so dope. My bookings and my travel and my tours and everything outweighed my fame.
Mm-hmm.
So they were booking, not knowing to the spec, they say, he funny. Yeah. A little off kilter, but he funny. And then it was like, I'm not famous. I'm not rich. I took the megabus here, so I'm gonna say what I want to say.
Right.
And then people that say, and it's funny too, because I never disrespect nobody, and I come from a place that all my friends are mixed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you know, like my Lebanese homeboy came and spent Thanksgiving with me. I got a couple of friends that I met that I became cool with in Lilburn, and they're Sikhs. You know, and they got the they keep calling me Muslim. I'm not a Muslim, man. what is wrong with down here? What they don't? I tried to explain to them. In the South, either Mexican,
white or black,
Chinese, white or black.
Yeah.
You ain't
you're never Vietnamese or Japanese.
You're never Korean.
And everybody's assuming that you're going to be Christian unless you got on a bow tie or turban.
That's it. You're either Christian or Muslim. You can't be a Buddhist. You can't be...
And I find when you hang around a group of people, you can talk about race more than like in the South where everything's segregated. Race is such a...
taboo.
Right.
You hang with a lot of people, everybody's open and free about... You know, the differences in culture, and they don't feel threatened, and nobody has no agenda. But down here,
it's like, what?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you think he racist?
Yeah.
I was like, nah. Like, you would see a white man say something on television. In the South, it's just extremely racist. What?
Yeah.
But if he's from like Philadelphia, New Jersey, or something like that, he's got an eclectic group of friends that he's around. When he came, he deduced that what he said.
Prime example is Bill Burr.
Yeah, Bill Burr.
Bill Burr can say stuff, and he's making fun of other cultures. You can tell that he's not a racist.
Right.
Yeah. You can tell that he hangs around multicultural group of people.
Right.
Now, if somebody from Canton was to say the same thing that Bill Burr would say, they are racist.
Right, yeah.
Larry the Cable Guy.
Right.
Yeah. I guess if you come from a place of honesty and you actually know about the culture instead of speaking of what you heard.
Some stereotypical stuff.
Yeah, like I know Steve. I'm not. There's only so many nail shop jokes I can do. But yeah, I mean, yeah, we can play like it because we know each other on a better level than just acquaintances, and we don't segregate ourselves. Like,
I think that's why I get away with a lot of my jokes down here, because a lot of these white folks or people down here, they normally don't get to talk to Asian people like you guys get to talk to me.
Right.
So for me to go out there and just say some stereotypical Asian stuff,
Right.
They think that's funny because that's what they've been thinking their whole life. But,
right, right, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That stuff's like,
but we knew you.
Right. Yeah, I knew it. Yeah. I knew it. You know,
that's it.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I will say, though, I had a great, I guess I was up in D.C. twice last year. Mm-hmm. Well, once in 2014, once in 2015. Mm-hmm. I had a great time with that comedy scene.
Yeah.
Like, it's jokes that you do here depending on, like, you got to, it depends on the age group, whether they're going to be like, oh, or they right. might get offended or something.
Mm-hmm.
But that DC scene,
yeah,
the people come to laugh. They like, I did a DMX reference, everybody got it.
Right, right.
You do a DMX reference here in this club.
Yeah,
depending on what night, they're gonna be like, "Who is what? What is that?
Yeah, yeah,
is that a bike?"
Yeah, and the sad part about it, this is the sad thing, when you only see your culture and we only see who you are, the person that you see in the mirror, you miss out on so many.
You miss out on a
things.
Whole lot. Yeah,
yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like the whole Muslim thing. I was like, "Are y'all crazy?" Like, but they said, "Oh, we could. All Muslims are terrorists."
Yeah.
Do you know your doctor's a Muslim, right?
Right.
Nine times out of ten.
Yeah. Not only that, do you know your history?
Yeah.
Right.
You've killed a whole lot of people.
Right.
And still doing it.
Right, yeah. So it's, and then I think the further north you get, the more spiritual it is.
Yeah.
And then you more open and
but once
tolerant.
You get away from that Bible belt.
Yeah.
Once you break
away
from that.
Yeah, good Christians confuse people. They just confuse people.
Yeah. Once you pass like North Carolina, kind of into Virginia.
Once you pass North Carolina,
yeah. But the thing about it, people don't realize, man, whatever you are is cool.
Yeah.
Let me be agnostic or let me be whatever I am, you know.
Don't try to force me into
right.
the pot that you boiling in.
That's cute. That's cool. If I'm not a Christian, don't say I'm going to hell and don't condemn me. Or if I'm not a Muslim, don't.
Whatever they do, you know.
You know.
Nah, dude, don't do that, man.
Right. Right, yeah. It's just, and
hey, let me ask you this, man. Were you writing songs or in the music industry when you started comedy?
Yeah, I still do, man. Actually, man, when I started comedy, I was doing jingles, and I was actually working with...
For like television or something? Or?
Television, yeah. Doing jingles and cartoons.
And then we might recognize?
Nah, I mean...
Best part of waking up.
Nah, I wasn't gonna hold that, but...
Don't tell me I gotta give him royalties.
I'm gonna need that check. Sometimes, man, with a jingle, man, they want... You might do what's called an updated jingle. Like Coca-Cola, they update a lot. You won't know it because we're getting older with the brand.
Yeah.
But they will update their jingle every 5 to 6 years.
Oh, okay.
And they'll say, we wanted like...
Just like they update their logo.
Right, yeah, the logo.
I know Pepsi did a while ago.
Yeah, they update the logo, but you it's kind of going with you.
Yeah.
And then you look at a picture.
Back in the 90s and 80s.
You see a Coke. Oh, damn, I ain't yeah. know that.
They'd be like, Coke wants more of that street feel. Can you do like a trap Coke?
Right,
Coke
yeah,
song,
so
you
just,
know.
Yeah, you know.
How you love that Coke and you be moving that Coke, you know. That.
Right, right. Remember the can used to have Coke on it. Now they put Coca-Cola back on it.
Yeah.
Because it used to have Coke in it for real.
Yeah, you can have cocaine.
Before this goes too far and we keep talking about drugs, I need to take a little break. Listen to the Keno Trice Show. We'll be back in a few minutes. Wow.
This is comedian Landry, the lone heir to the Soul Glow fortune, and you're listening to the Keno Trice Show. Wah!
Back from break on the Keno Trice Show here with Malachi Black.
That's me.
In the building. I forgot what we were talking about.
We're just talking about just my hometown and where I come from and how it influenced me.
You started comedy because you were doing jingles.
Man.
You got to stand up.
Yeah, I got into stand up because I wanted to get into acting, man. And then we was in the studio, a friend of mine, B Hood, the guy that producer that I work with. He was one of the people that, he was like an Atlanta legend.
Yeah.
He worked with like DJ Toomp, T.I. He actually the guy that did T.I.'s demo that got T.I. signed.
Okay, okay.
He had a single out with these people. That's just my baby daddy.
That song went gold.
That song went gold
when it was hot. That's just my baby daddy.
Yeah.
It should have went gold. That song was hot when we was kids.
Yeah.
That's just my baby daddy. Who that is?
Right.
Who that is?
and it got to the he was doing a session with Morris Day, And Morris Day was like, he said, "Dude, you funny." He's like, I'm not just, you know, I don't know if you remember Morris Day from Morris Day. Oh, yeah.
What? Come on now.
But, come on, get up. Nah, I don't know who he is.
Go ahead. No, you don't know Morris Day?
Nah, you know, go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Don't stop the show for me.
Oh, okay.
Morris Day. This is a regular thing.
I'll Google him later.
Yeah, yeah. And you'll be like, damn, what time is it? Don't be surprised if he come back here. Right.
Come back with his hair all teased up.
Right. And so even back, man, Babyface, Patti LaBelle, all these people say, man, you're funny, you should do comedy. I say, you know what, I don't know. And I was friends with a guy named Drew Thomas. I don't know if y'all know Drew, Big Drew.
Big Drew?
Yeah, Big Drew. Big Drew. We know Big Drew. Shout out to Big Drew. He was on the show a few weeks ago. But
right.
Yeah.
And so Big Drew, we had the same barber.
Okay.
And I was always having people laugh in the barbershop. And Drew's like, man, I'm doing comedy, man, you should, you know. And he said, man, dog. Come to
Twisted Taco.
Twisted Taco.
I'm put you up.
Yeah.
So I came through. I was like, and I just that night I met Clayton English.
Right.
He is like, yeah, I've been doing this for about a year or so, whatever. Yeah. I said, oh yeah. I said, well, I'm probably in your league. He just started, and Clayton went up there and killed it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, God. I said, ooh, ain't that funny? He's funny.
Yeah.
And then Carlos walked in. They're like, yo, Carlos. He's like, I'm about to go up there and do some time. I was like, oh, how long you been doing that? I started with him. I said, okay. He went up there and destroyed it.
Wow.
And then Zoo Man was hosting.
Yeah.
And then, no, I take that back. Drew was hosting. Mm-hmm. And Zoo Man was headlining, and then and then Tyler Craig went up.
Mm-hmm.
Then Trey Black, I don't know y'all know Trey.
Yeah, Trey.
Trey Black
Trey
went
Blizzle.
Up. Yeah, that's back when Trey Black was the man. You know, Trey Black is like probably one of my favorite. Trey Black one of my favorite comedians.
Man. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why
he's one of the first comics I met. But
yeah. So I was like, then I just started shrinking. I was like, ooh. All they doing that in this little club?
Mm-hmm. That's a little ass club.
Twisted Taco was like on top of this
upstairs
bar downtown, yep. You know. The, and they said, "Oh yeah, man, we about to close the show out, man." Then I said, "Woo! Oh yeah, I forgot coming to the stage, Malachi Black."
He wasn't ready.
I wasn't ready.
Went up and. I did like 3 minutes. He's like Q was the promoter. He's like, you got 3 minutes.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, that's a long time for nobody. on. And I went up there with no jokes.
Oh, snap.
And because I was like, damn, was I supposed to write something? They're like, they wrote something. Yeah. These guys wrote something.
Oh, look like they wrote something.
Yeah. Went up there and killed it. And then they had the Funny Farm. Was it the Funny Farm?
Funny Farm up in Alpharetta.
They had the Funny Farm. Q and them had the Funny Farm.
Yeah.
So you had to, they weed out the comics they can perform at the Funny Farm.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
And then Q was like, that was funny. See you at the Funny Farm on Thursday. I was like. But it's like, damn, this is only my first time, whatever.
Right.
And then Drew's like, you know, Drew got the high voice.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
It's a little higher than that. Yeah. Hey, man.
Write you some jokes. Because that bullshit you did up there, I know you. So write some jokes. And then from that point, man, I just got addicted. You know what I'm saying? I just was like.
Oh, so you started comedy when you moved down here.
Yeah, I wasn't doing comedy in D.C. I was strictly known as a songwriter and producer in the A&R in D.C. Like, when I go to D.C., and when I went to D.C. to perform, people was like, damn, I remember back in the day. Right. And Griff was there. Griff was like,
hey, homie. Hey, homie, I remember you was like a A&R or something, homie.
Yeah. You know, I was like, I do comedy now. That's what's up. Yeah. That's what's up, you know. And
you know. So can you sing?
Yeah, I can sing, man. I'm like, man.
you going Malachi House while he cooking them grits.
I'm like an old school singer, man. I can sing like a real, like, Irresistible.
Was that
McDonald? Who was that?
Irresistible. That was, I forgot, man. It was, Miles J. Yeah, he was a singer. He was pretty big. He used to write for Teddy Pendergrass, and I wound up singing background for him for a while. So
okay,
what's up, man?
Yeah,
you had a perm and stuff.
No, I got natural. Actually, my hair is real curly. It just fell out. Yeah, so.
I ain't never seen Malachi with no hair.
Yeah, it just fell out.
I still got it in the bag. Right. Come over here, let me show you.
Now, if I grow it back, it will be pretty on the side. It will be pretty. Yeah.
Silky Johnny Gill video.
Silky, yeah.
Rub you the right way.
Some knob, Stacey Adams.
And
a tight Easter suit.
Oh, I can kill it. Yeah. Like in the 2016, I'm gonna be singing in my act, man. It's gonna be
Cool. I will be there. I will be there. I want to laugh. Steve is dying over there. before we get out of here, man, where can we find you on social media? And you can talk about future projects. We know you got the battles going on.
The battles. You can catch me on the battles. You catch me on Malachi Black, MalachiBlaque. We shopping another hit called Besties, is starring me, Rodney Perry, and a couple of other people, and is produced by Angie Stone.
Okay.
You can catch me on Netflix. Is that Netflix? Catch me on Netflix in the movie Labor with Angie Stone, Mope Williams, and I'm forgetting some names.
You don't have to stay that long. They're going to get mad.
Catch me on that.
Oh, so you just going to forget about me.
And, Eddie came by the other day and talked to me, too.
Yeah. So. And you can catch me on the Giggle Mafia. And hopefully by April, it'll be on Crackle.
Say all Giggle Mafia, all their names.
A lot of y'all. Right?
Yeah. The Giggle Mafia, the mainstay members. There's a lot of people that come and go, but the main members of the Giggle Mafia is Julie Osborne,
Mope
Williams, Sanchez Blackman, myself, Eric Jordan, and we just added Miss B.
Miss B, shout out to Miss B.
Yeah, and then the satellite members: Chris Set It Off Jones, No ID Frank, who's actually. Who's like a master improvist.
Okay.
I don't know why he come hang with us, but No ID Frank, Anita Belton, Miss Anita. Who else, man?
Marty P,
he's in and out. I think he left the group. I think he wanted to start his own thing.
Okay.
But he's still like a member. Like, it's like the thing about the Giggle Mafia, you never get kicked out.
Yeah.
Because we all friends, so it's just you come, like, say, for instance, if you had an idea, like, I don't know if y'all know Jordan Jackson.
Yeah, we know Jordan.
And then I came and did, he got his own little thing he do, and I was on the, we was on the news together, me and him. So me and him got our own, outside of what he do and outside of the Giggle Mafia, we got our own thing coming out. But he just came by and we was like, you got your characters with you? He's like, I sure did. and then we did some stuff, man. So it's not, and one of the people that come by, and then like Angie Stone, she's like, that's how I got discovered through the Giggle Mafia. Right. That's how Angie Stone discovered me and put me in a lot of stuff she was in.
Man, you network, man. We a community here. We all work with each other. We all try to put each other on because Atlanta's going to be the next big thing.
Right.
So, man, put that content out there. Keep pushing, man. Shout out to you and everything you do, brother. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
You forgot to do your shout out to the LGBT
community. Oh, shout out to the LGBT community. That's what I do every week.
Right.
Because apparently I always say something that offends gay and lesbian
this
people.
This dude could be on the highway. Yep, I should have put my turn signal on. Shout out to the LGBT community.
Well, you should have Julie Osborne. She can come through.
Oh, Julie Osborne is definitely coming through.
That's my girl right there.
But until the next time, man, we're here every week. Mm-hmm. We're going to be broadcasting live from the Punchline. Looks like every Monday.
Okay.
We're going to be here live at the Punchline. So, man, have a great week. Until next time, you be cool. We out. Peace. Mm-hmm.
What's up? This your boy Malachi Black. And when I'm not getting my prostate checked or in the bed with your baby mama, I'm listening to the Keno Trice Show.